Warning, the episode you're about to hear will expose you to the truth and the facts, neither of which give a flip about your precious feelings. Listener discretion is ill-advised.
I'm telling you, good citizens are turning to real concern and revolutionary citizens real soon. How do you feel about being complicit in perpetuating that? The greatest hoax ever perpetuated on the American people, and you're part of it.
Now we're supposed to have unity. Let me tell you something. I'm part of the new resistance.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the New Resistance Podcast. In case you haven't heard, my name is Seth, and this is episode frickin' 15. That's kind of crazy. It's been almost a year since I started putting the show together. Let's see, I put the first trailer out on January 28th. And the first full episode on February the 2nd. So, yeah, almost a year. Pretty killer. I think. Anyways, this isn't the show where I give the look back on the year spiel. But if you like what I'm throwing down on the NRP, hit like or subscribe, depending on which platform you're listening on. And leave me a review as well, if you feel so inclined. You can also shoot me an email at the_NRP@yahoo.com, post a comment on the NR podcast on Facebook, or leave an audio message on anchor.fm/pxpx. Click on message, that's right above the episode list. Then click on Start Recording Now and leave your message. Only I will be able to hear them. And I won't share or play any messages unless you tell me to for some reason. Alright. I've got a hopefully really encouraging and motivating show for you today. Encouraging in that there appears to be some awakening going on in the show-me state. And motivating in that yet another group of clueless and spineless Republicans, including one pretty well known in the Springfield area, have shown themselves to be the kind of GOP morons and useful idiots that we've all come to expect. We cannot let them have a free pass this time. At least they're not Democrats or leftists. That isn't good enough anymore. Not anymore. We have to pressure them and make it so untenable to behave in typical GOP fashion that they have no choice. It's America first or get out of the way. Okay, like I mentioned, there is a bit of engagement here in Missouri, a bit of lawfare being had by Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt. I mentioned this briefly last week. There was a decision by a Missouri judge in Cole County that said the Department of Health and Senior Services regulations that related to the DHHS director and local health department directors enacting these COVID restrictions and mandates, that they were unconstitutional, therefore putting an end to them and any mandates from any other entities who dictated them based off of the health department director's edict. I'm going to go over parts of the actual judge's order with you in just a moment, along with the Attorney General's actions as a result, and the all-too-predictable backlash and fit-throwing from the leftist school and public health officials. It's all quite rich, I'm telling you. Sure, none of it will surprise you, but, you know. So, the decision was handed down on November the 22nd by Judge Daniel Green out of Cole County, Missouri. As a result of a lawsuit filed stating that DHSS, that's Missouri's Department of Health and Senior Services, otherwise known as bureaucrats, to take over the lawmaking and executive duties all to themselves. By the way, I'll be posting the link to the actual judge's order on Facebook. That way you can read it for yourselves. I've always told you to do your own homework. It makes things so much easier to defend your arguments later on. Anyways, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's 18 pages long and the legal ease would bore you to death. It sure did me. Nonetheless, the very first paragraph says, quote, "This case is about whether Missouri's Department of Health and Senior Services regulations can abolish representative government in the creation of public health laws, and whether it can authorize closure of a school or assembly based on the unfettered opinion of an unelected official. This court finds it cannot." End quote. Now, a little further down, on the end of page one through the top of page two, the judge talks about four things that these regulations violate. He writes, "The court concludes that the DHSS regulations, one, violate separation of powers principles of Article 2, Section 1 of the Missouri Constitution. Two, violate the Missouri Administrative Procedure Act. Three, are inconsistent with the public health law framework established by Missouri statutes or Missouri laws. And four, violate the Equal Protection Clause of Article 2 of the Missouri Constitution." I don't know much about this judge, but I can say that he does not mince words on several occasions throughout this decision. Pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty great, actually. I dig this guy's attitude so far. On page two, he says, quote, "DHSS regulations break our three-branch system of government in ways that a middle school civics student would recognize, because they place the creation of laws and enforcement of those laws into the hands of an unelected administration official, otherwise known as bureaucrats." And one more, on page 15, talking about how individual freedoms are affected. He says, quote, "Individual freedoms are affected in different ways throughout Missouri relating to the same COVID-19 illness, thanks to the DHSS regulations that allow one person to make and enforce laws and close things down with no standards other than a completely unappealable, unchallengeable opinion regarding public health protection. Missouri's local health authorities have grown accustomed to issuing edicts and coercing compliance. It is far past time for this unconstitutional conduct to stop." End quote. Boy, is he right on that. Boy, is he right on that. You know, it is about freaking time that somebody besides us and the politicians who just have no way of changing things says this. It's about time somebody in authority says this. I honestly do not know how prevalent this opinion is amongst the rest of the judiciary in Missouri, but it's just nice to hear someone other than a bunch of no-intentioned politicians acknowledge that this much power in the hands of one person is dangerous, unconstitutional, and has to stop. As I said before, I'll be posting the link to the full decision so you can read through the whole thing if you would like. Right. Now, then 15 days after this court decision was handed down, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt sent letters out to all public health agencies and all public school districts in the state concerning this court order. Here's what part of his statement announcing that he'd sent out the letters says, quote, "The recent decision from Cole County Circuit Court is consequential as it relates to public health orders. Today, I sent a letter to public health agencies and school districts across the state informing them of the decision and demanding they rescind and cease enforcement and publicizing of public health orders or other orders that were declared null and void. Public health authorities and school districts have gone unchecked, issuing illegal, unconstitutional orders in their quest to aggregate and maintain and exert their newfound power. My office will enforce the court's order across the state." I will also be posting a link to these letters as well. He sent one letter to local health agencies and then an almost identical letter with a different ending to the school districts. Now, as you can imagine, some of the school districts did not like being told their little piece of COVID stand had been ordered to stop. As you can imagine. Strangely enough, it was mostly school districts that resisted it. I think there may have been a couple of public health tyrants that threw a fit. I believe St. Louis County was one of them. There were quite a few districts that put their foot down, or said they were putting their foot down. They said they absolutely were not going to stop. A few days after sending the letters, A.G. Schmidt posted a notice on Facebook calling for students and parents to email or call his office and report any instances of harassment and or refusals to stop by school districts. This is my favorite part of the whole thing. By the next day, by the very next day, he was posting a bunch of those complaints for every school district that had not complied. He also started mixing in districts and health agencies that had complied in a bid to pressure those resistors to do a 180. That's what I'm assuming is why he did. By the end of the week, the majority of districts, including most of the fit throwers, had relented and called off their mandates. That, my friends, is how public officials should be operating towards COVID stand. Right there, perfect example. Well, wouldn't you know it? SPS, Springfield School Systems, is one of the few remaining holdouts. The good little Marxist. They're arguing that the court's order just doesn't apply to them. I mean, it Apparently, majority of other school districts and public health agencies found that it did, but SPS is something different, something special from all the others, I guess. They're saying the mask mandate is going to be dropped in January anyways. We'll see if they follow through or not. Any bets on if they actually do? Anybody? It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't, but we'll see. They thankfully received a lot of pushback for not complying and doing away with their mandates immediately. Students and parents across the whole district at several different schools staged a walkout and protested outside of their schools on Friday, December the 10th, this was. They mobilized pretty fast. That's pretty awesome. That's how you do it. That's how you mobilize and resist. The media here mostly just covered the protest at Pershing Middle School, but this was done across the whole school district. It was organized by a Facebook group called Springfield Public Schools Parents Speak Out. The woman from the protest that was quoted in the media, I don't know if she was the organizer or what. Usually the organizers are the ones that step out and give statements and interviews to the media. Her name is Miranda Dusenberry. I hope that's how you pronounce it. Forgive me if that's not. She is also a parent at Pershing. OzarksFirst.com quoted her as saying, "I think our point is really clear here. Our point is to drop the mandates that are illegally in place right now. SPS has no right to have these mandates going on." End quote. If any parents or SPS students hear this episode, I want you to know that you are not alone in this. We will stand with you and your children to be free and to breathe fresh air, unimpeded by face diapers, and to have a childhood that is free of oppressive mandates. I encourage you to organize more walkouts and protests. If they continue after Christmas break, do not comply. I encourage you to be peaceable, but bold, and unrelenting in civil disobedience. We are proud of you for standing for you and your children's future. Now let's take a break. I will return in a few. Hey guys, I want to take a few seconds here and tell you about an app called Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. And it's free. And your episodes are automatically made available on most of the major podcasting platforms. Just go to your app store and download Anchor. Or go to anchor.fm.
Hey, it's Michael Hasty, and you're listening to the New Resistance Podcast. Thank you, and tune in again. See ya.
Nothing brings back warm Christmas memories like the songs and carols you love. And only Pericarditis and his mRNAs have all your favorite holiday songs in one non-random controlled study.
It's beginning to look a lot like a vax pass to get into anywhere you go.
From inspiring hymns like
"Oh, Holy Spike," "The Protein Bloodstream Trembling Because They Lied and It Don't Stay in Your Arm,"
to traditional Christmas classics such as
"The 12th Decade of Lockdown's My True Lord's Gave to Me Absolutely Freaking Nothing. I've been home since Christmas." with me.
Then there's those funny novelty songs to lighten the mood.
Grandma got run over by a Cuomo. He left her to die in an infected nursing home. I really can't stay. Baby, it's COVID, Stan. I really must go. Can't, baby, it's COVID, Stan. I saw Mommy masking Santa Claus because the CDC said so last night.
And of course, we remember the reason for the season.
Fauci, did you know that your virus would someday wreck the world? Fauci, did you know that your science doesn't know what's a boy or a girl? It came upon Anthony Fauci, a sulfuric presence of old, from demons deep within the earth, who knew that his soul was sold.
But that's not all. This collection has so much more to offer, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Redfield, All I Want for Christmas is My Fifth Vaccine, Deck Rochelle with Facts and Data, Whitmer Wonderland, Little Jabberboy, Have Yourself a Little Waning Efficacy, Happy Christmas, This is Never Over, and more. All this can be yours for a high, high price we can't name yet because inflation, but don't let that stop you from this once-in-a-lifetime collection. Call now at 1-900-666-VAX to order. Only available while supply chains last. Must be double masked when you call. Again, that's 1-900-666-VAXX.
I swear this time is gonna be the last one. Gonna be the last one. Oh, wow.
Welcome back, welcome back. All right, so let's get into this. I mentioned earlier that I had an encouraging and motivating show for you. Last segment, of course, being the encouragement. How freaking cool, by the way, is that, that the parents and students both coming together and saying, enough. We're not doing this anymore. There were also over 100 students at the Rockwood School District here in Missouri. Not entirely sure what part of Missouri that's from, but it's in Missouri. That's great. So, over 100 students that walked out and protested as well. Resist, and then resist some more. And then resist some more until results are seen. Last week, we had a second grader in Florida bravely standing her ground in front of her school board, who has taken multiple suspensions for refusing her little mask. And this week, we have some Missouri students from at least two different school districts. Come on, adults. Let that be your inspiration to join us. Okay. So, towards the end of November, the U.S. House passed a bill officially called the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act, which, if passed by the Senate, be crossing your fingers and toes that it does not, would fund a federal vaccination database of sorts. It would provide $400 million to fund, quote, immunization system data modernization and expansion. Anytime Any level of government, especially the federal government, talks about any kind of expansion, count on it being bad for us. Until someone can prove otherwise, you can take it to the bank that it's going to be bad. Anyways, this is a system that is supposedly a confidential, population-based, computerized database that keeps a record of vaccine doses given by any healthcare provider. That's your doctor, your nurse practitioner, health clinic, etc. Within the geographic area covered by said database. So it acts like there'll be different databases for different areas. You'll find out what that has to do with the federal government here in just a second. The bill also expands the capabilities of the CDC and public health department, as well as the ability for state and local health departments and public and private healthcare providers to share our health data with the federal government. Oh, it gets better. According to the bill's main sponsor, a Democrat, this system would be used to, quote, remind patients when they are due for a recommended vaccine and identify areas with low vaccination rates, end quote. Supposedly, that is to ensure equitable distribution of vaccines. And that's all. At this point, I'm not sure if they aren't purposely sinking chances of more people getting vaccinated or not. They're doing a stand-up job of it. By the way, this bill also had 4 Republican co-sponsors. And even better, 80 House Republicans voted for it. This is like their hold my beer moment. 4 of those 80 were from Missouri. And our representative for the Springfield area, Billy Long, was one of those 4. Now, all jokes aside, this kind of legislation is dangerous. It pisses on our privacy with regards to our medical information. It expands the chances to our medical info to be shared with the federal government. Oh well, I'll just go to a provider who refuses to share it, you say. Okay. Yeah, that's what we should do. But you've heard the term money talks, right? Well, according to the text of the bill, quote, the government could award grants and cooperative agreements to health departments and local government entities for agreeing to adopt the new data collection guidelines, which the CDC would set, by the way. The CDC bureaucrats. Also, any agency getting grants has to comply with security standards to protect personal health info, you see. That sounds well and good, but the government can also develop public-private partnerships to help with tech assistance, training, setting it up, etc. If you remember all the way back to episodes 2, 3, and 4, you might recognize that term, public-private partnerships. You think those partnerships, which would be the big tech companies, not small ones either, you think those partnerships might be beneficial in hiding which info and how much the government is taking from us? You think the regime would be transparent about that? You can bet every penny that they haven't taken from you yet, that they will not be responsible with our health information. You can bet it will not stay secure forever. How many huge hacks have there been in just the last year that this federal government that says it's going to be responsible with our info have just flung the door wide open for these hacks to happen from lack of action on the ones before? And you can bet this program, this system, will be expanded far beyond what this bill lays out. And finally, you can be sure that if this bill is passed in the Senate, that neither Kevin McCarthy nor Cocaine Mitch will repeal or do a damn thing to defund or stop any abuse of it if they take over Congress next year. Now, don't underestimate the GOP's ability to screw this up either. They, by all appearances, should absolutely wipe the floor with them next year. But we are talking about the GOP. Folks, there's no reason any Republican, especially at a time like this, should be voting for bills like this. I don't care how much, if any, good stuff is in there, which will be their excuse. Just watch. I don't care at all. There shouldn't have been even one Republican vote for this. Billy Long deserves to lose that Senate race. Blunt old seat. He signed himself up for a loss when he voted for this. And frankly, it shouldn't even be close. Even if the bill is dead on arrival in the Senate, he still voted for it. As far as I'm concerned, I think he should be pressured by us, his constituents, to just drop out now. Save yourself the humiliation and save people from throwing away their hard-earned money by donating to him. Congressman Long has been on this every county tour, which isn't that bad of an idea, really. I know he's been in Springfield at least once or twice already. I believe he started in August. I never could find a schedule of his appearances anywhere. Not on his campaign website, anywhere. However, if you find out where he's appearing and attend, heckle and boo this man. It's possible to do that without harassing him. Ask him why he sold us out. Why'd you sell us out, Billy? Why'd you sell us out? Let this motivate you to really dig into candidates that you plan to vote for or support in any way. Dig into their history. Dig into who their donors are. Dig into who the campaign staff and who's running it. And let it motivate you to pay closer attention to how our and your current elected leaders, state, federal, local, county, school board, all those are voting. They work for us. They should never be allowed to forget that. Hey, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope every one of you and your families have a very Merry Christmas. Cherish the precious time you get to spend with your loved ones. Most of all, don't forget who we truly celebrate on Christmas. This has been the New Resistance Podcast. Till next time, stay focused, stay engaged, never give in. Deuteronomy 31:6. See ya!